So let's go to our main scripture, Hebrews chapter 13. From verse 7. Please, you know, this morning I was asking God, why are you particular about some of the things you tell us? And one of the things God told me, which he also told me yesterday, is that we all still have the tendencies that we can't imagine if we don't continue steadfastly. We have the tendencies of doing the former things. For example, some of us here, you know, God brought you out of the place where you didn't understand the place of a church, and now you're attending a church. Now, if you trivialize or you joke about it, you can go back to that place. And that's why when we're mentioning those folks we're mentioning on Wednesday, you know, as much as we were smiling about their names, some of them were really fervent at the beginning. It was because of those guys that they wrote that it is impossible for if anyone who has tasted of this light, you know, he has fellowshipped with us, we've eaten, we've broken bread together, that it's very difficult for them to be recovered or restored if they depart. And so, your heart, at times you need to always be doing one-on-one with it every day. You know, the Bible also says that we should be circumspect enough to check whether we are still in the faith. It's because there are tendencies that can get you. It's a narrow way. That's what the Bible says. It's a narrow way. You can also think of it as it's like a thread that you are walking on. Now you may say, God, why did you make it like that? But that's not a conversation for today. But the reason why God is taking our heart in a way where the heart is stable and the heart is trusted is why we are looking at some of these things. Because your heart, that heart can deceive the owner of the heart. And that's why they told us that even if your heart deceives you or condemns you, God is greater than your heart. It's only one person that is greater than your heart, not you. It's only God. Hallelujah. Amen. So that's one of the many reasons why we will keep looking into the word. That's the reason why we keep coming to fellowship with ourselves. Remember those who rule over you, who have spoken the word of God to you, whose faith follow, considering the outcome of their conduct. We'll continue this on Wednesday as well. On Wednesday, we'll be looking at the component of a sound doctrine. What makes up a sound doctrine? We'll also even be looking at the different types of false doctrine that were recorded in the scripture. The doctrine of Balaam, the doctrine of Nicolaitan, the doctrine of Korah, the doctrine of Cain, the doctrine of Balaam. You know, we'll see. And you might think some of these guys were Old Testament folks. Korah, Cain, Balaam. How come they were an issue in the New Testament? Jude recorded those three in particular. Like Jude wanted to write about their common salvation, but he found it expedient to write more about the guys that will steal from them. Now, you might be thinking that you should have just written common salvation and forget it. About there, just write that, oh, you have a beautiful faith in the Lord Jesus, glory to God, blah, blah, blah. They said I found it expedient. More expedient. It's good that I write to you about your common salvation. It's good. It's good. It's a good exhortation. So you can go somewhere and preach. Anywhere you even go to, when you are given the opportunity to preach, preach the beauty in the common salvation. Yeah. But at times, God gives you the opportunity to see, and that's the use of the letter to the churches as well, you know, to see where deficiencies exist, and then to quickly bring correction There are people God gives such assignments. Is this not a general? But the one that is general, as a child of God, learn to what? To preach the common salvation. What God has given both of us. God is love. God is faithful. God is true. But there are times when God zooms in into what can truncate the work of God in a place. Do you understand? So that's why Judah to write that be mindful of guys that are clouds without water. They would have a form of godliness, but they will be denying the power thereof. This is in our Bible, right?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. So it's not fear that is making us exhume them. It's that is the whole counsel of God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So we'll look at some of those things on Wednesday. But today, I think there's just a quick walk that... So remember those who rule over you, who have spoken the word of God to you, whose faith follow, considering the outcome of their conduct. You know, we said on Wednesday that we can take three things out of here. People who preach the word, people who have a faith that we can follow. They have a life that is worthy of an example. And then their life has fruits. So we don't want to first take rule over as the essence of their remembrance. The reason why we are remembering them and they are worthy of double honor is because they are laboring over us. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Verse 8. It says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Verse 9. Do not be carried about with various and strange doctrines, for it is good that the heart be established by grace, not with food, which have not profited those who have been occupied with them. So the emphasis here is that, no, it's verse 9. For it is good that the heart is what? Is established by grace. You know, amongst many prayers that you pray every day, this is a prayer to pray every day. Because there will be things that would come and unsettle the heart. There will be things that there are challenges in life that would question your faith. You know, that will ask you questions. That would bring you to that moment where you're like, is God still with me or not? So it is good. It means that in the day of adversity, you know, when he says that when you fail in the days of adversity, your strength is little, is that your heart is weak. Your heart is not established. So the one that would give in the day of adversity is the one that his or her heart is not established. So if your heart is established, if your heart is settled, if your heart is strengthened, in the day of adversity, you would overcome. You won't give up in the day of adversity. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
And when the Bible says the heart, you know, I don't want us to quickly gloss over it. The reason why the heart is important, like we said 2 weeks ago or thereabout, is that the heart is what God does business with. You remember in Isaiah, and Jesus also mentioned it, how Bible says that they drew near with their lips, but their heart was very, very, very far. It's because it's the heart that God does business with. I think that's Matthew 15. Matthew 15, let's read verse 7. Hypocrites, while did Isaiah prophesy about you saying, these people draw near to me. So this place was what Isaiah recorded in Isaiah 29 as a prophecy. Then Jesus used that reference to hammer the Pharisees. That's also another doctrine, the doctrine of the Pharisees. The doctrine, the Pharisees too, they also have their own. That's why they will say, why didn't you wash your hand before eating? You know, but let's leave that till Wednesday. He says, these people draw near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. You can see this is where we always stress worship leaders. Let your heart be here. Let your heart be here. It's because they know your mouth can be here. They know that your lips can be here. At least the true worship leader, so not the one that are looking for drama. And because that is also where worship and service stems from. Worship and service stems from the heart. And that's why it says, you will serve the Lord your God with all your heart. With all your heart. So a service that is not coming from the heart is not true service. A worship that is not coming from the heart is not true worship. So Jesus was identifying the life of an hypocrite. He's the one that comes with his mouth and his lips, but his heart is not there. Hallelujah. Amen. So it's the heart that God does business with. And so when the Bible says that our heart should be established, is that is where God, that's the office that can interact with God or that can do business with God. Now, if you put fervency in your body, if you put fervency in your mouth or fervency on your lips and not fervency in your heart, you wouldn't have transacted with God. You may have transacted with people, you know. And that's why praying with zest and vigor and energy and the heart is not engaged is not a good exercise. It will be more profitable if it's as good as you went to gym, if you did that one. Like, I mean, praying when you're sweating is as good as being around 10 kilometers. Like, both of you are on the same level. But praying with vigor, I mean, with your body, but stemming from the energy that is also generated from the heart, that's the one that is profitable. He says bodily exercise profited what? Little. So imagine sweating just in the body, and the soul did not even shake. That's the bodily exercise. So you and the person that did Access Bank Marathon, you are in the same, even though you just did your own marathon in the church, both of you are on the same level, on the same plane. So service that is acceptable, worship that is acceptable is from the heart. So you can, if you see somebody joking with his or her heart, you know that was the stupid thing Cain did. They say sin lies at the door of your heart. He was just looking for an acceptance. He wanted his sacrifice to be acceptable. But they say sin lies at the door of your heart. Like, you should have changed the concern and start praying this prayer. Oh, God, help my heart. Oh, God, help my heart. Oh, God, help my heart. Maybe the prayers of David might have helped him. Search my heart, oh, God. Whatever is making this sin be at the door of my heart, take it away. So the matters of the heart. For example, if your pastor says, oh, God, fix your heart. If you go and joke with it, and you're trying to fix other things, you would make a shipwreck of your faith. Because the most important thing that is required is the heart. If anybody accepts other things from you, and your heart is far away, the person is deceiving you. The person says you are accepted, but your heart is far. You have been deceived, or you've deceived yourself. Hallelujah. So we can understand that the heart is important, right? Yes, so don't joke with your heart, please. Don't misuse your heart. Don't abuse your heart. And that's actually the reason why we are looking at this topic of having our heart established by grace. It's so that we know that every other thing that we would do, it would stem from a graceful life. It would stem from, even when you are laboring, you know you are laboring from a rewarding place. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Let's finish down Matthew. Verse 9. It says, and in vain they what? They worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. So you can see that the worship of the mouth and the lips without the heart. You can also know that even your belief in Jesus is with your heart. It says with the heart, man believes. Now, if you don't believe with the heart and you are confessing with the mouth, it's vain. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Let's leave there. No, before we leave there, one more thing. Whatever is in the heart will finally manifest. So if the mouth is here and the heart is far, after a while, the whole essence of the person will be far. Whatsoever is in the heart will finally manifest. Whatsoever is in the heart will finally manifest. Let's quickly look at, you know, something we said, I think 2 Sundays ago, if I can remember vividly. You know, what gets a heart to become evil? You know, we looked at it, Abby, after Pastor Anu had preached. You know, I want us to just look at it again. Because it is an evil heart that can concord and generate false doctrine. Now, it's when a heart is evil. You know, we said last week, or maybe on Wednesday, that what powers false doctrine is seductive spirit. We'll read something. Yeah, there's another doctrine called the doctrine of demons. It's in your Bible. And that's why we don't open up our spirit anyhow. You don't just say, have me. We say you test by its fruit. Everybody that this thing has possessed or has had, or that everybody has lived by this thing, how has their lives turned out? If you've seen that everybody's life, that everybody that followed this philosophy, they crashed, yours will not end differently. And so is sound doctrine as well. Everybody that gave themselves to sound doctrine ended well. Even a bad person that gave himself to sound doctrine, Onesimus, thief, he became profitable. So, and like we said, it's a wind. Doctrine is it will carry you in the direction of its end. So it's an evil heart that can perpetuate false doctrine. It's an evil heart that can concord, that can, you know, a heart that can just sit down and just say resurrection is past. It's an evil heart. Do you understand what I'm saying? It's an evil heart. A heart that can just say Jesus Christ did not come in the flesh. It's an evil heart. Or the heart that can just say while he's praying in the Holy Ghost, God is accursed. That's an evil heart. Now, you might think it's not possible until you tell people to go and hold iron. Yeah. Like they told me in school then. Say, brethren, we hold the iron. I said, we're not holding iron. No. Ah. We're not holding iron. From iron, we start biting. We'll be chopping grass. Yeah. We'll be eating grass from iron. I said, no. You know when you scatter the whole prayer meeting? Say, no. We are not holding. This is Nicolaitan doctrine that we didn't have all this knowledge then, but I knew what was wrong. And I will tell you how to, even when you don't have all the knowledge, there's a way your heart can spot what is not from your God.
Yes,
so I'm not saying you go to Bible school first to know what is sound doctrine. No. No. And there was no admonishment that you have to go to a theological school to ensure you avoid false doctrine. That's not even the solution. You can even go there and be the chief of false doctrine. Yeah. Because you will use how do you people call it in Bible school? Interpretation. Hermeneutics. You use that one to establish your own. It's good to go to Bible school. You know some things. I've not gone. God will help me. You want me to go, Abby? Ah, it's the people that have gone that say amen. I heard them. Even my wife said amen in her mind. A heart can be considered to be evil or be bad when it has been overtaken by the following. We read those, but I know some of us were not in that service. That's actually why I'll read this again. So we said a heart can be evil when it is overtaken or defeated by the following. One, the deceitfulness of sin. It means this one is not This one has told himself that you can do this Christianity with a life of sin. So that's the deceitfulness of sin, where you go and nail Jesus Christ back on the cross again. You know, when he says, can we continue in sin that grace may abound? You know, God, you know, that continuing in sin, that life of sin, is what the deceitfulness of sin has brought, when sin has deceived you. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So that's the first one. This is the second one that we said, and you'll find that one in, I think Hebrews chapter 3, verse 13. The second one we said was the deceitfulness of riches or the love of money. It has the in it the ingredient to get a heart to be evil or bad. It means everything you will see, because you are already deceived by the love of money, you will take everything for gain. Everything will be, you will preach for gain. You will save souls for gain. Like you will be doing everything for profit. And the profit is not God's profit. It's for gain. You say you are my brother because you know what he has in his pocket. You say we are joint heirs. You will do a lot of Christianity, but it will be from a wrong heart. So that's what the deceitfulness of riches would do. It means a man will be doing everything. Now, the whole state of an evil heart is that heart is reprobate, meaning it can't do anything that God would accept. You know, that was what he said in Romans. After those guys, they gave themselves to things they should not give themselves to. You know, man unto man. You know, all these things that we think we are joking with, you know, that is even infiltrating some of the Western churches, is going to get the heart to be bad. The ones that are leading it, those ones they have evil at. Those are the ones that can champion evil. And you have examples of this. These are not old examples. I mean, people that are currently alive, they are using their energies in the direction of force or falsehood. So the deceitfulness of riches will get a heart to be bad. So when you are dealing with money, you have to be careful. That's what I'm saying. Don't say my money or nothing. If they don't, you know all those phrases now. Me, I don't joke with my money. I can joke with everything. I just joke with my money. Or any time he enters that frame of money, it's greed that is your inspiration. You are being this, and that thing has it. There's a cause, but the effect is that the heart will be bad. That heart cannot serve God. Even when that heart is saying, God, use me, use me, use me, that heart cannot serve God. That's a reprobate mind. That heart cannot serve God. So that's the deceitfulness of riches. The third one is hidden works of dishonesty. Hidden works of dishonesty. That's the third thing that can get a heart. For deceitfulness of riches, you see that in Mark chapter 4, verse 19. You can build an edifice and it's perpetuated by the deceitfulness of riches. Nobody will know. It's you and God that knows. That the reason why you are laboring is for gain. You know, that was also how some people shipwrecked their own faith. So hidden works of dishonesty. You see that in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 2. And I just have a sense that God might want us to look deeply into some of these things later, but I don't know. But I'm just reading. The fourth one is lying against the truth. That one is when they tell when they tell you this is the truth of the word of God, you say no. That's unbelief. Lying against the truth. When they tell you that this is the way you can be saved, and then you tell yourself otherwise. Then I think the last one is handling the word of God deceitfully. That's the last one. Those ones, they fall more into the people that can perpetuate false doctrine very well. Because what's false doctrine? False doctrine is your ability to add or remove to what God has said. Yeah. You know, when Paul said, even though if it be an angel, if it be animal, cost is that if he removes or adds to this thing or lays anyhow on this foundation. So if I were you, I would watch out for this to ensure my heart does not become a vessel that can now perpetuate falsehood. Because I said it's an evil heart that the devil can use. Now, the heart that can be used is different from the heart that can be deceived. They are two different. The one that will be used is the one that will carry mic. The one that will be deceived is the one that will sit down. They are two different hearts. Is the evil heart that will come and declare boldly what is not the counsel of God. That will boldly remove or that will boldly add. That's the evil heart. But there's another type of heart that will hear it. They are two different. Because this one, the one that we hear, might not necessarily have the tendencies of the evil heart. It's the evil heart that will walk out of the room and know that God was not in the room and tell you God was in the room. And tell you that God is here. He said, I should tell you. That's the evil heart. But that one that is also hearing has another type of heart. Has another type of heart. See, the best heart is the good heart that they taught us. The best heart. But we are looking at the different places where the heart can be. But these five things will definitely get a man to an evil heart. You will be the right candidate that can perpetuate falsehood. So anytime you find yourself in the bucket of the deception of sin, know that you are in internship. They are looking for internship to recruit for falsehood. For some people, it's their life that will be false. For some people, they would have the opportunities and the platform to broadcast and perpetuate falsehood. So if a man is not careful, like I said, I would be careful. When somebody is too giving to money and is my best friend, I'll be careful around him. I'll say, no, everything is not money. Everything is not money. Say, if money is not involved, I can kill for money, you know. The person is already in an evil heart. Or we are both planning for the future of a thing, but in your heart, you are planning otherwise. That's hidden works of dishonesty. Who say you are not with us? Where is it? Hey, my man of God, it's me and you. But you are the Judas. You are behind the scene. You are walking contrary to what you have used your mouth to declare. Your heart is walking something else. So that one is hidden works of dishonesty. Like you are doing something else. But I'm with you. In this marriage, we are in it together. But you are not in there. You have checked out. Yeah, that's hidden work of dishonesty. Lying against the truth. You hear the true word of God, but you say, no. That's not it. And handling the word of God deceitfully. See, men and brethren, don't be here. If I can even stop in some way, don't be here. Don't stay here. Don't, you know, like we said, don't experience it to see what happens. That's not a way to test a thing. Experience is not the best teacher. No. You don't need to experience bad to not say, hey, bad exists. Oh. No, it's not. Don't use that. Let the word of God be your wisdom. You don't need to be foolish first to become wise. So don't say, let's even see what love of money looks like. No, don't play. You may not come back. Otilo, because it's the wind. This one, they are like the components of that wind. You are gliding. You are gliding. You are gone. And this will get a heart to be evil. It's not a heart that can still love the things of God. You can't say, Mombatukwe. This one, you can't be battling with this one. This is not rising and falling. This These are the ones that will abuse grace. And say it's once saved. You know, it's once saved forever. You will be here. False doctrine is heresy. A false doctrine is a teaching or set of teachings that negates or instructs to live contrary to the word of God or sound doctrine. So the sound doctrine is the word of God. So whenever you hear, give yourself wholly to sound doctrine, it's saying give yourself to the whole counsel of God. But false doctrine is also a set of teaching. But its intention is to negate. His intention is to instruct to live contrary to what the word of God says. Hallelujah. That's what falsehood is. You know, an heresy or an heretic person is one who removes or adds a carnal human idea or philosophy to the word of God. It's the one that removes the true word of God and says, no, it's not this. And then adds a human carnal idea to the word of God. And we know the chief of this. Is devil. Bible says he's the father of what? Lies. But we know that he uses men to perpetuate the lies. Can we go to 1 Timothy chapter 4 from verse 1 to 3? Because inside of falsehood is deception, seductive spirit to deceive and manipulate people. Now the spirit speaks expressly saying that in later times some will depart from the faith, giving heed to what? Deceiving spirits. And doctrines of demons, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared with hot iron. Verse 3, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from foods which God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and know the truth. Verse 1 spoke about giving heed to what? Deceiving spirit. That's lying spirit. Lying spirit. So that's what falsehood is. Falsehood is to negate, you know, give you an idea that is contrary to the idea of God. Hallelujah. Amen. You know, we also said there's a different heart that is deceived. The deceiver is different from the deceived. The heart of the deceiver is the evil heart. But the heart of the deceived is the naive heart. The one that say, ah, kitelo and be. You know, that's the... Or for example, you know, they've been mentioned in this church, is don't go there, don't go there. They say, what's even there? They not carry your big Bible. You know, say, anything that come against me, I'll come against them. You carry that Bible out, but you become an evangelist. You will start evangelizing something else. So that's the naive heart, the simple heart. Is the naive heart that will be deceived. The untrained heart. Now, the reason why we are going through this is so that we can train our heart. And for example, if anyone is here for the first time, you are hearing the word of sound doctrine, it's so that your heart can be trained. And you will not give yourself to deceiving spirits. So the simple heart, the naive heart, the untrained heart, the lustful heart. In the Bible says we are tempted because of the lust. So the reason you heard that thing you heard is because you healed your own prophet. You know, the Bible says if you come to a prophet and you want him to answer something in your heart, he will speak to that. Yeah. According to that idol in your heart or the lust. The Bible says we are tempted because of. The reason you were deceived is because you too gone. What is not lust? You are looking for it. There's a study I'm doing currently on the Bible. I don't know if it's a preaching or it will just be study. But a lot of people that run into or that became an apostate. Some of them were looking for what's not lost. What's B? What? Where are the missing books? Where are the missing books? There are books that are missing. Why is Matthew and Mark, why are they saying differently? Yeah, that's a naive, untrained, lustful, simple heart. It's the one that will be deceived. You know, like what is it? The heart that is looking for, you know, they say God is love. Ah, this L-O-V. Yeah. After a while, the naive heart will become an evil heart. After a while. After a while, it will go on that journey. After a while. They said something, God is love. It's just love. God is love. You just say, God is love, and go. Now, the sovereignty of God can bring a revelation of that word to you. But they say this book, see, as much as we say read the Bible, pray every day, this book is a closed book. If God does not help you, you will find something else. The reading of the word of God is a blessing already. But that thing, when they say the secret of God are with them, they are fearing. That thing, that secret of God, holy wah. As you say you want to look for it, you will find another secret. Yeah. You will find another thing that custodes the world. You know, when they say Timothy should not give himself to old wife fables, I found out this morning that old wife fables is not just a law, it's superstition. For example, when they say Orio, Ori, Omori, Ori, Ori Manjao. How many of you have heard that? Ori Manja. Ori Manjao. Ori, Loretta doesn't know Ori. It's a head. Whether it's Edward or small head, you usually fight. No, as a man of God, you are preaching Ori Manja. So, Paul to Timothy, don't give yourself to profane babblings. But he also mentioned old wife fables. Because that was entrained in superstition. See, things have carried people. Things have carried, and it's still carrying people. My own appeal to you is, be established. It is good. It is good that your heart is established by grace. See, some of us, we know people that have been carried. And it's not easy to be carried, because you might want not to be carried again. But what it be? It's like alien invasion. They've carried you. You can't say, no, I don't want again. I don't want again. No. Can we look at 2 Timothy chapter 4? Are you being blessed?
Yes, sir.
From verse 3, 2 Timothy chapter 4. It says, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. Now, this is a naive, untrained, lustful, and simple heart. They won't endure sound doctrine again. So somebody's preaching sound doctrine. They say, no. Want to hear something else. Want to hear something. So they will not hear. But according to their own desires. Because they have itchy ears. Now, this is not just itchy. It's the heart. You listen with your heart. It's not this. Because even the deaf hears. You didn't hear? You didn't hear that? You heard? Yes. The deaf that does not have this one. As ear. And that's why when you say, you receive healing with this one, the one here will hear. Wow. Don't worry. It's not easy. Word of the deaf can hear. That's the only way they can respond to the word of God. Else, they've been cut out from the inheritance of the saints. Yeah, because the inheritance will be preached. So their heart will hear. Their heart will hear. Hear. So this itchiness is in the heart. Not the one you can remove with cotton wool. You know, the one when your ear is itching you. How many of you do that? And it's just some of you carry leaf. Or maybe big biro. Toothpick.
I'm saying the different things some people have used. But this itchiness is in the heart. Is the ear with which the heart hears. It says, then they will hip hop. Now, this is a miracle that they did, though. Because even God in Jerusalem, in Jeremiah, God says, I will give you pastors after my own. That's a miracle of God. But these people, they can also do miracle. They can also raise up teachers to satisfy that itchy ears. He says they will heap up teachers, themselves teachers. Verse 4. And they will turn their ears away from the truth. It's still the heart. And be turned aside to fables. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So this is the one that is deceived. The deceiver is the guy with the evil heart, the bad heart. Well, this one is the naive guy. He's the simple guy. You know, Papa has taught us how not to be simple. Because he's the one that will get injured. Yeah. The lustful heart. God is telling you, deal with this excess. You are saying, no. You will find a teacher that will not give you a doctrine to it. Because the idea of doctrine is to give you a set of pattern on how to achieve a thing. You know, when we even pray, how to become a man, for example, when you're given a prophecy, how to become the man of the prophecy is doctrines that guide you. Is doctrine is like the means. God will tell you, you are living here, you are going there. You are going to this beautiful place. What will get you there is the doctrines of Christ that you will now live by. That one will make you the man of the prophecy. So that's what doctrine carries. It directs, it leads. But these ones, they were given to their itchy ears. And they created teachers. And then they finally left the truth. And then they were now given to fables. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
A man that is without understanding is different from a man that is given to false doctrine. They are two different people. There are places we all still lack understanding. So it's not like, so this place I don't know, I've given to, no. For example, some of us, our idea of faith started from asking and receiving. Then he graduated to, it's really my life. Because the idea of giving to false doctrine will always be a choice. You will mistakenly find yourself. It would always be what? A choice. It would always be something you decided to live by. It says, according to their own desires. They didn't numb them. They didn't shut every sense of recognition that they can have. Yeah. They knew that they don't like this one. They want this other one. So it's different from where you lack understanding. Because the Bible says, if anyone lack wisdom, it says, let him ask. There are places in our lives that we don't yet have all the wisdom of God. But we will always be in a state where we will not be deceived. And so that's why the apostles strongly teach about sound doctrine and consistently sounded the alarm against falsehood. I can even say to us, it's with the same energy that they preached sound doctrine that they also preached against the things that are not sound. So that's why I said, Wednesday, when you say what you are saying, say what you are not saying.
Yeah, it's so that your hearers can be really blessed. I'm not saying this. I'm saying this. Quickly, what do you do to sound doctrine? Number one, you defend and preserve it. That's what you do to sound doctrine. Paul told Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 3. Can we quickly look at it? Our time is gone. I thank God whom I serve with a pure conscience as my father did. As without ceasing, I remember you in my prayers. I sure it's verse 3. Maybe we'll come back here. Defend and preserve it. Number 2, fight for it. Let's go to Jude 1, 3 to 5. Jude. Jude 1, 3 to 5. Beloved, while I was very diligent to write to you concerning our common salvation, I found it necessary to write to you, exhorting you to contend earnestly for the faith which was once for all delivered to the saints. Verse 4, for certain men have crept in unnoticed, who long ago were marked out for this condemnation, ungodly men who turn the grace of our God into lewdness and deny the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 5, but I want to remind you, though you once knew this, that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed those who did not believe. I think the emphasis here is verse 3. You commit it to faithful men. That's the third thing you do. Then the fourth thing, you publish and you preach it. You can write down 2 Timothy 4 from verse 1 to 2 and Titus chapter 2 verse 1. I was hoping we were going to do a little exercise as to what do you do to strange doctrines or falsehood or false doctrine. But I think we would pick it up. That's what I was hoping to end this session with. But friends, you know, if you are here and you know you've found yourself in a not so good place, maybe you've been naive around something, untrained, or you got what you were looking for that, and you finally found that it wasn't God. The first thing a man does is repent. Yeah, don't say they deceived me. You are becoming Adam. Repent. That's what he told the church in Pergamos. They were given to the doctrine of Nicolaitans. And see, anything that is not the doctrine of Christ, God hates it. So don't say that it doesn't just align with God. God is not a philosopher that you disagree with. He's not Aristotle. And what's the name of those Socrates that are arguing? No, God is not a philosopher that he has his ideology, then there are other ideologies. God doesn't have to agree, you know. No, God hates anything that is false. That's what he told the church in Pergamos. He says, that doctrine that you guys went after, I hate it. Even the church in Ephesus were also deceived. See, that our church, our beautiful church, Ephesus, you know, it's our beautiful church. We like the church in Ephesus. So it's a conversation of the heart. But you repent, you repent. When the Lord comes across you as he's coming today, you repent. You repent. You look at, oh, what's my ideology on this thing that God said? What's my ideology on this thing that God said? If it's not in line with the word of God, you repent. For example, what your ideology about the church, if it's not what the Bible says, you need to repent. Because there was a day your own desire, somebody preached it. And you say, yes, that's it. And then you were deceived. He says, repent. For I will come quickly, like I will rush you guys. Repent. Because other than the losses that will come because of the fruit of falsehood, God in himself would also destroy the falsehood. So other than, oh, you got what you were looking for, other than that, there's also destruction that comes because a man or a woman or a people were given to falsehood.
Hallelujah.